start with that.
Oh, there's catchphrases now?
No. We'll start with this, I guess. We're just gonna get into it.
Yeah.
We were just playing around with ChatGPT. Is it called?
Chat. Well, this is the Bing version. I mean, it still uses ChatGPT, but
AI thing.
Bing kind of is incorporated.
We're just trying to come up with ideas for our logo.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was just typing in some stuff in there. Some of the stuff that was coming out pretty funny. And so one of the things that he searched for was like catchphrases.
Yeah.
And one of the catchphrases, go ahead and tell us some of the catchphrases there.
So I told it to make a catchphrase about like something entrepreneurial that has to do with our podcast. And some of the catchphrases that it came up with were the podcast that inspires you to create, innovate, and lead. Pretty cool.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, but that's I feel like that's too much.
After this podcast, I don't know if we'll inspire or motivate anybody.
I feel like the AI sometimes can make things look it tends to be a little cheesy with it.
Yeah, very cheesy.
It's definitely hyping us up.
So we are the podcast that motivates, inspires, and whatever. But we are back with season two. Yeah. It's been a while since we've done a podcast. I think it was like August or maybe even July of 2023 when we did our last episode. So it's been a while, but we are back, Jesus and Will, and in our first episode of Forging the Future.
And the good thing about this season is that we're able to finally incorporate the green screen for the entire thing.
For those of you who are listening.
There'll be something
to say. What the heck? Yeah. But there is a green screen.
It's because I think last time Mike was on, we only had it on his end, but not on us.
Yeah.
So this time we can change it up a little bit.
The green screen. So for those of you guys who may be watching some of the clips on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, you might see us, on a mountain somewhere. So it's kind of cool that we did that. So we changed up a few things. We're still in the basement, our studio. But we moved some stuff around, and we changed up a little bit. So we're excited to be back, and we're going to have fun this season. And in our first episode, we brought back our first guest from season one.
Yeah.
And we're kind of excited to have him back with us in this episode. We got Mike in the studio with us today.
Hello.
Mike is on the mic.
Yes, hey, and free. It is freezing. I still have a winter coat on. You guys are not, like, you guys are all way more manly than I am, because I am freezing down here.
So when we came into the studio, or to the basement, it was cold, and I told the guys you need to put the heat on, and then we got some...
a little bit of flack. It pushes the heat up so much, and especially noticeable in the men's bathroom. If you don't spend too much time in the bathroom with the heat on down here, it becomes a sauna.
Well, so, so the heat comes on in the basement, obviously, but then there's like a vent, just one vent that's in the bathroom upstairs that shares the same heat, same unit, and you go in there and it's hot.
Either way, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
But it's cold out here, so we appreciate you coming through, even though it is cold. We'll try to keep it warm,
I guess. I'll just keep my coat on. I don't know what to do. Maybe some hot cocoa in a little bit if you got it.
So what's up with you, Mike? What's going on, man?
Excited for another year.
Yeah,
man. 2023 was a good year.
Yep.
Solid year. Had some fun with the family at the end of the year.
Yep.
2024, looking to be another, honestly, truly a good year. It feels it feels like, I'm not a big fan of winter. So, like, there's no snow out right now, and summer, spring around the corner. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
So, I don't know when this episode is supposed to be coming out, but right now it's where we're just in the beginning of February 2024. And, I'm excited about this new year, too.
Yeah.
It has been a tough winter, though. It kind of just hit us real hard. Like, it was, like, nice for a while.
In
the 40s.
It was just one storm.
Boom.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
Well, that storm lasted for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but like compared to previous winters, I don't think it was that bad.
You are
I'm happy with that. It could be like that every single winter, and I'd be fine with that.
It has warmed up this week. I think we got into the 40s.
Yeah.
At some point this week, so all the snow has melted away. So I'm good with that too. But yeah, what else is new with you? I mean, do you want anything exciting this year?
I see that you went to the Lions versus the Bucks.
No, yeah. Did you actually go?
Yeah. I didn't go to that game. I went to the. So they showed at Lions and 49ers this last game, right before the Super Bowl. Right. They showed the game at Ford Field.
Okay.
So it was like 40,000 people in the field, and then they had these huge screens where you're watching the game. And I went to a few games this season, but this one, was just like there was an actual game happening in the building. It was insane. The energy
Which
in Ford
game was
Field.
This, again?
This was the NFC Championship game.
So the 49ers.
Yeah, 49ers Lions. Yeah. But I saw them through the rest of the season, and it was a hell of a season.
No, I mean, they definitely did a good job this year. You can't be too angry with them. I watched the game first half. I only watched into through the first half.
Oh, you thought they were winning then.
Well, no, because the first and the second quarter, and I can't remember the exact play, but they made some mistake where they let this guy get like 30 yards. He caught it, stiffed arm somebody, got like 20 or 30 yards, something like that. And at that point, I was like, here it is. Classic Lions. Here we go. And I could not watch because of the anxiety.
Yeah.
I wish I did, but the anxiety got to me. Yeah. So I cut it off, and I was just keeping up with the scores. I mean, I'm glad I didn't watch the game because I would have been freaking out the entire time.
I mean, it was close.
It was close. It's
a different team, man. It's a completely different team.
Regardless of it, we got to be proud of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all the coaches, I mean, not to get too football-y or whatever, but all the coaches are coming back.
Yeah.
A lot of the players are coming back. Yeah. We just need a defense. We get some cornerbacks in there.
Yeah.
We got a good team. Yeah. We got a great team.
How was the atmosphere there at the Ford Field?
It was like an actual game was happening. Yeah. So it was, they had these four screens on the field, and then every time they scored a touchdown, they still shot off the fireworks, and people were still doing the wave, and like, they're still using the cameras to show people in the stands.
Yeah.
And the energy in Detroit in general this season is wild, is electric, because everybody there has never seen. I mean, we haven't been to a playoff game in like 30 years.
It's 32 years.
Like, everybody was a kid when all this happened.
Yeah.
Or we're not even born, some of us.
Well, that's awesome, though, man. I wish I was there for that one.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Can you imagine if they won, though?
Yeah, a Super Bowl? I would be going.
Even if they won that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Lose the Super Bowl.
Right. We were talking about it on Mojo in the Morning.
Yeah.
Like, would you rather, with the team that's never been to the Super Bowl, would you rather go to Vegas, where there's going to be a lot of fans
and it's
going to be electric, like it's going to be Vegas, or would you rather go watch it again at Ford Field and be downtown in Detroit?
Oh, for sure.
I think I would almost rather be downtown.
You want to be hometown, And I almost feel like the Super Bowls are great and everything like that, but the playoff games are so much better, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I
fun.
Enjoy the playoff games a lot more than the Super Bowl games.
You think so?
Oh,
why is that?
Well, and the reason why I say that is because Super Bowl, the teams that go into the Super Bowl are not really teams that they have no rivalry.
Yeah.
And so, like, when they're going into that, it's kind of just commercial. It's just like, okay, everybody's just watching the Super Bowl, and there's no rivalry. There's no – you're not really – I mean, obviously you're going for your team.
Yeah.
Right? So there is that, but there isn't, like, the story behind it.
I agree.
Like, for me, the playoffs, like 49ers and the Lions going against each other. Or you got the 49ers, even with Kansas, if they were to go against them. That would have been incredible. I would like that.
Yeah. Well, so it is Kansas City.
Right.
It is Kansas City and 49ers.
Yeah.
But the story, I agree with you.
No, but I'm saying if the Lions were going with Kansas, then I would be like, oh, yeah, this is awesome.
Oh, yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, outside of that.
The storyline, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Because right now it's either Patrick Mahomes is going to get another Super Bowl.
Right.
Or Brock Purdy, who like was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft, kind of cool if he does win. But it would have been nothing like it would have been if it would have been the Ravens and the Lions.
Yeah,
that would have been the best Super Bowl we could have had.
Yeah, that's what I wanted, the Ravens and the Lions. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
We got next year.
Yeah.
I think they'll do an incredible job next year, and I think Campbell's doing an incredible job.
Oh, absolutely,
he's killing it.
Other than that, Lions excitement, we had a baby. So that's
There's that. Oh, sweet boy, girl.
Boy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's two now or three?
Two boys, one girl.
Okay.
I'm done. All done.
Congratulations.
Officially. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Sweet. When did you have the kid?
He was born. So I don't remember when I saw you guys last, but it was in May. May 25th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I think we did talk about this in our last podcast. I think there was something along the lines of kids.
The baby was on the way.
Maybe it was just kids. You talked about kids or something, but I think you were talking about needed some money or you got to get a job or something because you have another kid coming or something like that.
We always could use more money. There's never a time where I can say.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Not even a year old yet.
No, 8 months. Just starting to kind of understand what's going on in the world, function a little bit.
That's a fun age.
Yeah.
I cannot with babies for some reason. I cannot. They got to be at a certain age. They got to be at the age where they can start holding their head up for me to start having fun.
Yeah.
Before that, like, anybody's like, hey, you want to hold my baby? I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I have no interest in it.
Yeah?
Yeah. once they hold their heads up, then I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. You know, they can start goofing around and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, I'm always just worried
eight months is definitely good.
I don't know, it's gonna do something wrong. Yeah. Or like,
that's what I'm afraid of. Like in my mind, I'm always thinking like I'm gonna crush their soft head. No. And I'm not doing anything. I'm just holding it. But that's like my
party holding these babies.
Yeah. As long as you buy the head, like, like a basketball.
But no, 8 months is definitely fun. That's when they start. I get like you just said. They start
he's crawling, noticing things. Yeah, he's crawling. He's saying "Dada," so I feel like that's a win. Because it's not mom.
Right.
It's not mom first, but yeah. Other than that, adjusting to that life and kind of getting in the swing of things.
Sweet, man.
Yeah. What about you guys? What's going on with you guys?
To be honest with you, nothing. Same story back in August when we ended the podcast first season. It's the same thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nothing new with me. How about you, Jesus? I mean, I'm boring. Sorry, guys, but that's it.
Yeah. No. I guess kind of the same. Yeah. We haven't really changed much. Yeah, just working, getting a lot of these training videos out of the way.
Yeah.
We've been doing training videos internally for the company, so pushing those out. That's mainly it. I mean,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, they've been working on that for quite some time, months now.
Hey, what's the total out now, Jeff? Over 70-something?
Right around 100.
Around 100, so more than I ever thought.
And they're building them from scratch.
Yeah?
Yeah,
yeah,
we're animating them. Doing a whole like writing the scripts.
Everything.
We have like an AI voiceover tool.
Oh
yeah,
AI has been nice. It helps because getting people to do a voiceover or even doing it myself is just really difficult.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather play around with the finicky voices sometimes than have to have someone in a studio at a scheduled time to do a. This way, I can just sit at my computer and grind them out.
Do they still sound like?
Me a while, but yeah, you know, I can just do it myself.
Do they still sound robot-y?
No,
they sound
pretty realistic.
Yeah. Everything I've heard, they sound.
I was like, who is talking?
It's insane how realistic they sound.
Everything I've heard, they sound dead inside. They sound like they don't have a soul.
I plan to play this at the end of the episode.
Forging the future is made possible through support from Forge Industrial Staffing. Work where it works.
You know who
Theo Vaughn
is?
I do, yeah.
So they even had one of him as like the AI voiceover.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could use him for like whatever, but. You can tell that that's him, and it didn't sound robotic in any way. It sounded like it was legitimately him.
Now, if you ask AI to build a script for you, that's when it kind of gets weird.
Uh-huh.
There's some things in there. Like when we asked it to come up with a logo for us, and then it had like a catchphrase under it. What was the catchphrase? It was like, Werto.
Yeah, that's just with images. It's real weird with text.
Werto Bergmore or something like that.
No.
So stuff like that's kind of weird.
The biggest thing is usually... just making sure that like the grammar makes sense, that like it's not referencing things that don't really make sense in the script.
Yeah, yeah.
Every now and then it'll pull from like a weird source of information, so like you can't just like tell it what you want and then be like, all right, now turn it in. Like you gotta
review it.
You gotta review it yourself. Sometimes it has some weird ideas.
It's such AI is such an interesting thing, and some people in some businesses are scared. Like AI is gonna. There's no fear in my business at all because there's a different level of like interaction with humans that you need to do.
You want to hear a person.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the whole point of it, is that you want to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. But I like to hear what it does in other elements of other jobs. Like that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I still think it sounds soulless, but he's not trying to convey any sort of emotion either.
For now.
That's the thing. I think the tools could be really, really useful. It's just a matter of using them to help instead of replace.
Yes. Yeah, which I think, because radio is doing some of that too.
Yeah.
With like assistance. So if like somebody calls looking for something and they need an AI assistant to get them in the, same with any other call, call center. So for some, I think for some buildings, like larger buildings, I think they're directing people in that way. And and I think there may be some script writing, but I don't think so. Because I think it's script writing, but I think you have to, like you said, go over it because
Well, you can even use it to change your language. So, if, like, you wanted to do Mojo in the Morning in Spanish, you could just make it your voice, but in Spanish, and have it do that whole thing. So you want to cater to different audiences.
I utilize that at work if I'm talking with a company or a client, and I want to sound a little more professional than what I really sound like. I use that.
Yeah.
And it sounds really good.
Yeah.
And you obviously have to read it.
Yeah.
Try to change it up so it does still sound like you.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to meet the client and then they're like, you sound nothing like
me. Yeah, yeah. It can really help. It helped boost up your vocabulary a lot. It helped me a lot with brainstorming.
Yeah.
Jesus and I use it a
See, that's the way to, that's the best way to, I think, to do it is brainstorm. Because even like they've talked about certain things in our job with it, and I was like, we're going to lose creativity if we just let it do the work for us. Yeah. We'll have zero. But I like the idea of using it as like a starting point.
I'm stuck.
Or stuck inspired.
Yeah. If you use it right, it can just bolster creativity.
Yeah.
It just makes it.
I like that.
More
right.
Yeah. Well, the logos that you came up with are pretty cool. Maybe we'll put that.
Well, that's
put
the thing.
That online
I didn't
somewhere.
Come up with them.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was an AI. Then. We could put it out there.
Here, I'll show you a little bit.
AI's got nothing on my new logo.
It looks very 80s or 90s.
That's what we're going for 80s.
So this is what it came up with first.
And for those of you guys who are listening to the podcast, we'll put this somewhere so you can
see it. We'll put it on the green screen.
Yeah, make sure you save those. I'll put it behind you.
It looks like...
So this is the first thing that it came up with, and I gave it more detail. So like...
Like an 80s video game.
Yeah.
Or like a 90s video game.
Yeah. And then he put in, replace the characters with Hispanics.
Did you guys use pictures of yourself?
No,
this is they're pretty close. Some of them are almost there, but like that one's not too bad. But then it almost has like a Middle Eastern look to them too.
Well, because it doesn't. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't know.
It doesn't know. Not yet.
But like, yeah. I mean, the more details you could give it, the better it is at coming up with something that's legit. I mean, this is pretty good, obviously, without the beard and stuff, but.
Catchphrase underneath says,
but yeah, it's definitely something that helps you release some creative juices.
Yeah, for now.
We're kind of happy with it.
We'll work with it until it makes us work for it.
Until we can catch up with it. But so we brought Mike on. For those of you who are first time listeners to the podcast, Forge Industrial Staffing, we really try to focus on that whole entrepreneurial spirit of businesses. And so we try to bring people on who are starting their own businesses, who've started their own businesses, and talk about advice, success, and stuff like that. Mike, working with the radio, you're kind of, I don't know, it's not your own business or anything like that, but you are promoting yourself. You're promoting something out there. And I think you do a fantastic job.
Thank you.
So that's why we brought Mike on. And he was our first guest, and the last one, I think, was probably one of our most popular episodes.
Yeah.
You're just saying that because I'm sitting right here.
It was one of our most popular.
TikTok blew up. Yeah. Those did really well, especially because I had reposted them after doing a little bit of touch-ups and stuff to them. Yeah. They did well the second time.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that it was mostly because Mike was doing the talking on those.
he brings the energy into it.
You're definitely good at what you do, man.
Thank you.
How long have you been doing that again?
18 years.
Yeah, 18 years.
Yeah.
So you definitely got the expertise when it comes to that.
Yeah. It's changed a lot, but I think so. It's become now you're your own brand.
Yeah.
So I'm a brand extended from another brand, off of another brand, like that kind of situation. So it's kind of nice to control the content and stuff that I do on myself and by just literally being me.
Yeah.
It's just me and how can I put it out there.
And so for those who are listening who don't know your brand, who don't know your stuff, talk a little bit about that and where they can find that content.
You can find it on our website, 1045snx.com or mojointhemorning.com. That's the morning show that I work on. It's called Mojo in the Morning.
One of the most popular ones here in West Michigan.
I'm doing really well in the company right now, too. Yeah. I think it's like number, in the entire company, it's like number, it's in the top five.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and podcast downloads, it's like 19 million or something.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane.
Holy.
And that's the morning show. That's all of us. And then I got my own Instagram and Facebook and stuff that kind of branches off of that. And that's kind of how I work with companies and how I extend my own personal brand. Because we all each bring something different to the table when it comes to the show and creating content and that kind of stuff. And you can find that on my Instagram at onairmike. Everything is at onairmike. Which was a play on Michael Jordan, but also I saw Ryan Seacrest put On Air with Ryan Seacrest. So I was like, I could do that.
Yeah.
But really it was a play. Like I had so many names over the years that I wanted one that was simple. Told you what, if you see that, you know it's either on TV or on the radio or a plane, I guess. It could be that too.
Well, if you're going to replicate anybody, you might as well replicate the greatest of all time.
The guy who's on everything.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan was my favorite basketball player.
Was or is?
I like him. I think there's other people coming up. I like Steph Curry. I like LeBron. I loved Kobe.
Yeah.
Was he the best for his time, you think?
Jordan?
Yeah.
110%.
Okay. He was incredible. I loved watching his games.
Yeah. I still watch highlights. I'll still today watch highlights.
Save here. I love watching the highlights from the last championship.
Yeah. The Jazz?
Against 5 seconds on the clock. Yeah. Awesome. Every time I watch that, man. But it brings back good memories. So, yeah, talking about branding and everything like that. So we do want to bring up some subjects today. It's something fun, I think. We've been talking about this lately off air.
Yeah.
Not recording. Just, you know, just us sitting around talking about stuff. And one of the things that we wanted to touch on was, like, movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about some big movies. And we had just had this conversation before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a natural conversation.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. So we were talking about, Mike here asked us what is, in our opinion, one of the greatest franchises in movie history, right?
Yes.
And I said Rocky.
Yeah.
I love the Rocky movies, man. Okay. I love the Rocky movies. I love the speeches he gives. I love just, it's so motivational, yeah. So inspirational. Not only that, but the making of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, it's a mirror image of the movie. So when you're talking about Sylvester Stallone trying to come up.
Yeah.
And his very first movie, Rocky, the first Rocky, it's a mirror image of his personal life.
Was that his first movie?
His first
movie. I did not know that.
His first big movie.
I had no idea.
Yeah, there's other movies that he definitely did before that, or he was coming out with some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But his first big role, or starring role, was Rocky.
Yeah.
He wrote the movie, actually.
I didn't know any of that either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
So he wrote the movie. The story goes that he wrote it on a napkin or something like that. He wrote it, like, basically the synopsis of the movie. Like, this is what the movie's going to be about. And
sure.
He wrote it down, like, really quick, in, like, 30 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it took a lot longer for them to put the movie together.
Yeah. Right.
But it was his movie.
Wow.
Yeah, they said that he was nearly homeless when he pitched that idea.
Yeah. So he pitched the idea, they loved the idea, and they wanted to buy it from him. And that was like some ridiculous amount, like $1,700 or something like that.
$350,000.
Yeah, that's what they
for the whole movie?
Yeah.
To
buy it from him.
To just buy the script, and then he would be...
He'd get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
And he obviously stayed.
And he said, I'm not doing that. I want to star in the movie.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Okay.
And he was nobody.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you're not starring.
Yeah, and they gave him the money, but then they said, all right, well, now...
Yeah.
We're not going to give you any kind of daily rate for your acting time. You're going to take minimum, and you're not going to take any writer's fees for on set either. So he took that at a loss so that he could still be in the movie.
But you're talking about building a brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Did he get a cut of...
He did get a cut of the
He
went on to direct him. Because the first one was directed by a different guy, but then went on to direct and write all of the scenes.
And once he... And I don't know the contract side of this or whatever, but once he starts... And they get to the second, third movie. Yeah. You're not going to put somebody else in that movie.
No.
Or in that role.
No. So I mean, he blew up on the first movie.
Yeah.
Everybody knew that's Sylvester Stallone after that. But yeah, he there was even a story about him selling his dog. He had this dog that was his family. That was it. It was him and his dog. And he had no money left, so he sold his dog to get something.
That's
I think
a
sacrifice. He got it back pretty
much. Oh, yeah. It was when he got the money off of this Rocky movie, he went and bought.
That
was his dog. So talking about like that branding.
Sure.
I mean, this guy, he built his whole career off of this movie, Rocky.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time, people saw him and he was Rocky. He wasn't Sylvester Stallone. He was Rocky. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about that. And we got some other movies that we also want to talk about. Really talking about these big movies, these big franchises that really started off with nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they built from the ground up. Whoever it was, the writer, the directors, even the cast, where they were coming in with absolutely nothing, maybe a few thousand or even $1 million, but not big budgets.
Right.
Right? And they're coming in and they're making these sacrifices, and how they built this franchise or built this, whatever you want to call it, this huge thing that everybody knows about because they didn't want to give up on their dream.
Yeah.
Right?
I fully understand that.
Jesus, he does all the research for us.
Yeah.
I'm going to let him go
ahead. Well, it's actually... Oh, this was actually Spencer.
I gotta put that film degree to use somehow.
So talk a little bit about what you know, the whole thing about Rocky. What was the budget on that Rocky movie, the first one?
So it says that they were given $1.1 million for a budget for the movie worldwide, and then they made $117 million from that movie. So I mean,
somebody got paid.
They got paid pretty well. I mean, they sacrificed a lot, too, because the producers, they put their houses and their mortgages on that. They could have lost their entire house if the movie did poorly, but they were so, they thought that the movie was going to succeed that much that they were willing to risk their entire house.
Yeah.
to see that happen.
I think that's part of, you said chasing your dream, chasing your passion, knowing your brand or whatever. I feel like that's part of it, is you have to be able, you have to be willing to do all that. Not necessarily, you don't have to. Yeah. You have to be willing to go, all right, like, this is it. Like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, for me personally, I knew I was going to be in radio. The second I walked in the door, the second I went on the air, I knew I was going to do this.
Yeah.
Quit every job that I was doing. I quit school. Like, I'm not recommending that.
Yeah.
But those are the you know, I decided that I'm going to do this, this, and this, and chase it, and see where it goes. And I'm continuing to chase what I would say is my dream, but it's the sacrifice that I felt like I had to make to start building a brand.
Right. Well, it's that belief of your dream, right?
Yeah.
That, yeah, I, you know, I'm not there yet, but I know that I can do this. I know I can be something.
Yes.
And even if no one else believes it,
yeah,
you know, that you hold on to that. Like you said, you walked into the studio, wherever you walked into, and you knew, I'm going to be in radio.
Yes. Yeah, the second I went on the air. The second they put me on the air the first time, and I got a reaction, and, you know, people in my neighborhood and stuff like that would say stuff like, hey, I heard you on the radio the other day. And I start to get, like, a sense of you're connecting with listeners and audience, and I'm like, this is it.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. Yeah. And so I just
I'm sure that at, you know, at some point in your career there was people who criticized you, people who said, yeah, this is not for you.
The second I got there.
Yeah.
The second I got there, the guy who was on his way out the door, he was training people to do what he wanted to do. He had decided radio wasn't for him.
Okay.
And so he was just he's one of those guys that they, and maybe you've dealt with people like this, who should have been let go before he was able to just leave with his 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
Because there was it was just a bad vibe about him. He didn't want anything. He knew he was leaving, so he didn't care what anybody else had to say or anything. Yeah. So he left and went out the door just talking crap to everybody.
Yeah.
And not the best way to start it, but it didn't stop me.
Yeah. What did he say to you exactly?
He said, there's no money in radio. He said, I wouldn't even bother. There was people along the way who said, there was a guy who said that I shouldn't DJ because I was, you know, it wouldn't go well with radio, like DJ, play music and stuff like that. And that year those type of things actually pushed me because I would.
Is that where you started then with the DJ?
No, I started on the air and then people would ask radio people all the time, do you DJ events?
Yeah.
And I would always just say no. And then I started to see how much money you could make DJing and I went, DJ. And so then I taught I learned from some buddies who DJ, but I would MC more of those club gigs, and so there would be DJs there, so I'd watch them and kind of learn from them, and I knew how to MC really, really well, so I was like, if I can attach DJing to that, and so, 2012, we started hosting a lot of concerts at that time, too, and maybe it was 2011, 2012, and they said, hey, we need an opener for, like, Little John or an opener for Juvenile, like all these different
did
big
artists. Did you actually open it?
Yes, I did, because then what you do is, now what I have is a resume of I opened for Lil Jon. Right. I opened for, you know, it was cool to, like, remember sitting in my bedroom and playing these CDs. I know those aren't a thing anymore.
Yeah.
But playing a CD of Juvenile Back That Ass Up.
Yeah.
Most ridiculous song to really, like, get nostalgic about. But
it's a good song.
Yeah. Yeah. But so imagine sitting on stage knowing Juvenile's right there and I'm playing the music for Juvenile and he points to me and says, all right, hit the music. And so I'm playing that dun, dun, dun. And then he starts, the crowd's going wild, the energy is wild, you know, I'm DJing for Nelly and all these big artists.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So then I can put that on a resume and, you know, then all these other gigs opened up because they want the guy who DJed for Nelly and who DJed for, so I'd start doing these events that were smaller in retrospect to, like, the concerts, but, like, really they were big for me because I had never done these things.
Yeah.
And so then I was doing nights at the time, too, so I built my brand around that, and that's where Mike at Night came from.
Yeah.
And I would host the night show, and I would go out to these club events, and then I grew up with the brand, and so the brand had to change.
Yeah.
And I had to, you know, I had to give up DJing, and I had to give up all these other things that were a lot of fun. I loved doing them, but, like, as part of the evolution and sacrificing and getting to where I really, which is mornings, and which is a larger scale of the business, and, I had to sacrifice to get to that point.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people along the way who just tell you, you know, I don't know if radio's going to be it forever. Radio's changing. Radio's this, radio's that.
Yeah.
There's always people that are going to say that. I personally believe just don't ever quit at what you want
to
do.
Yeah. How are you able to take, like, criticism and use it to your advantage? Because I think you were talking to Jeff about this a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
It's some guy told you that you weren't funny, apparently.
No. So we did a. There was a. So. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You gotta love those people.
Oh yeah. So there is. There's people in the business who. I'm not gonna name names, but. So there is a person who no longer works with us. So that's a good start. Who. Job it is to go out and sell the brand. So okay, that's, they don't work with us anymore. They were in sales. Okay, so they have to sell me. They have to sell the. I heard you guys have met some of the people we work with. Like,
yeah.
obviously not John Farmer, yeah. But you guys know that's who it was to me.
Yeah.
And this person would try to sell me to places and then come back to me and say, "Hey, we think you have gotten, you know, a little corny with your stuff, and you post a lot about your family." You know, and some of the stuff is just turned into corny jokes.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay. And, yeah. And I said, okay.
My life is corny.
And I was like, my first initial reaction is I can say whatever I want here, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. F- you. That was my first initial reaction. Like,
this isn't live. I can edit whatever I want.
Yeah. And they tried to tell me I wasn't Detroit enough, whatever that means.
Yeah.
And all these different things. And it was really just chirping in my ear. But what happens is sometimes something like that gets spread in the office. And I'm sure there's office stuff you guys have dealt with,
yeah,
where it starts as a little rumor and then all of a sudden the fire builds, yeah, and it starts spreading. And then people who are supposed to, it never happened this way, but people who are supposed to sell you and try to get you out in front of clients and stuff like that stop because they believe a certain thing. And that never happened, thankfully. But that's why I was able to bring it up, is because it was years ago.
Yeah.
This person doesn't directly, I don't have to deal with this person ever again.
Yeah.
And I feel like those type of people are getting out of the business anyways, because there's people who are excited and understand what we're doing and get it. And then there was that person who
was not getting it.
And fully. And so as a brand and as a somebody who does take criticism on a daily basis of like bosses or listeners, or you kind of just roll with it. Like,
mm-hmm,
I know what I want to be. I know who I am. And the more authentic and real and true to myself that I stick with, do I have a corny dad joke or two? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't care, though. Like,
that's
but if I start focusing on what that person, that one person, who might be a lot, you know,
yeah,
in the grand scheme, a lot of people could believe that. If I start going with what they say and what they think that I'm doing, then I'm just going to go down a rabbit hole of, like, of truly sticking to what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not worried about being cool or being something that, like, I'm not trying to be anything. I'm just being me. And if it comes off a certain way, it comes off a certain way.
Well, and you can't satisfy all of the viewers.
No.
You can't satisfy everybody out there. You're going to have your own fan base, right?
Yeah. And if you live by the compliments,
yeah,
then you also die by the,
yeah,
criticism.
Yeah.
Like, constructive, I love.
Yeah,
if I'm doing something like, if it was like a client or even a boss, like it was like air checking me,
yeah,
which is where they go over your shift and tell you what you could work on. I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me what you need. I can make it happen. But if it's like you're falling into this category and we just don't think you're going to fit with the station,
yeah,
and that person doesn't even control whether or not I'm on the station,
yeah,
or it's just chirping at,
yeah,
that point. It's just like you're.
Well, and it's kind of cool that you stay true to yourself.
I have to.
And so you have to stay true to yourself. Even if other people don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're being in that industry where you're trying to gain a fan base. I can understand where you might change something up about yourself.
I grow.
You get more.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you stay true to yourself. And whoever wants to follow, you can follow. If you don't like it, then there's other people out there you can follow for sure.
Yeah.
But this is who I am. This is my family. These are my people. These are my corny jokes. This is who,
yeah,
I am.
And they're not. Hey, first off, let me just say this: they're not all corny. All right, some of them are. No. But like, people can sense fake.
Yeah,
people can,
right,
sense inauthentic.
We want genuine.
Yeah.
We want genuine.
Whatever that is, you know.
Yeah.
And then I grow, so I, you know, my stuff's gonna change.
Yeah.
Is it me, you know, wearing Magic Mike outfits to,
yeah,
club gigs anymore?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. It's,
yeah,
not that. It's not that anymore.
Yeah.
That's not who I am anymore.
Yeah.
I'm a dad with kids and a mortgage and real life issues.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
I talk about that and do that stuff. And
we appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit if you like it or not. How about that?
No, we do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
No, but you know, it's interesting you say that, because I remember a few years ago, I used to work in this HR office, and it's not for the company I'm working for now, but I was working in this HR office, and we just got into this subject of what do we want to do with our lives.
Sure.
And I remember saying that, you know, I don't know exactly what I want to do, but I want to see myself in like a management role. I like, you know, I like leadership. I like working with people, developing people, sure. developing with people. I like all that stuff. So I said, well, I don't know. I see myself in a management role someday. And the person that I was talking to, they said, you a manager? No, it can't happen. See? And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? She's like, you're too nice. You can't do that. And it's almost the same mentality that I had. I was like, what?
Yeah. You know? But did that criticism kind of fuel it the did. Fire to
it,
pursue
exactly
that?
What it did, yeah. So I took that as, like you just said, fuel. And I basically went back and was like, I'm going to prove to you that I can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that you don't have to be a mean person. You don't have to be.
Don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to be who I am.
Yeah.
And I can do this. And I think I do a pretty good job. I am in a management role now. Yeah. I think I do a pretty good job at my job. But there was a time after that, though, and we're talking about a couple of years after that, where I did try to change my management style, or in fact, I tried to change me.
Really? Why is that?
There was some stuff going on at the time where I felt like, okay, maybe if I was a little more stern, if I was a little more tough,
yeah.
then these things wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I started changing who I was.
Yeah.
Not just my style, but who I was. And so I wasn't as nice, like the person said, as I used to be. And it started to affect my personal life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so there was a point there, and it's probably like a year that I was behaving this way, that my wife, after maybe like 9 months, she was like, what's going on with you? There's something different about you. You're not who you used to be. Yeah. You just seem very upset.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was that kind of helped me realize, like, oh, I'm not being true to me.
Yeah.
I'm being somebody else, and I really don't like myself. Yeah. I do not like who I am right now. So I had to find myself again. And then in that, you know, that growth that you were talking about, I found out, like, okay, I can be a manager and me at the same time.
Yeah.
And I found my management style. I found my way of doing it.
Sure.
Like I said, I think I do a fantastic job of what I do now. But it was through that growth, that experience of, okay, I got to stay true to me, though.
Yeah. Do you feel, I don't know if you both have spouses. Yes.
Nope.
No?
Okay. You do got a partner, though.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I always feel like that is the person to me who can always be that person that's always on the outside with no ill intentions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Always the person. My wife is always the person, same as you, who will say, you know what's going on?
Yeah.
You're not you. Yeah. This isn't you. Yeah. Or if I think a situation, and this is what I found over the years, is there are times where I look at a situation and think it's one thing. Or think it's going a certain way, or it's not the way that I had envisioned. And all of a sudden, my wife looks at it and from an outside perspective, and she gives me these insights that she sees completely different.
Yeah,
completely different. Yeah. It's that rock. I feel personally, it's that rock at home, that foundation a little bit.
You need it.
Yes.
Yeah, I
need it. Yeah, 110%.
For sure. Yeah, she definitely got me back to where I needed to be.
That's good, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt good after that.
Yeah. What made you decide to? Because I'm an assistant program director outside of the morning show stuff that I do. So I'm in a vice president type of role. Like, I'm not the guy, but like, there has always been talks of maybe someday, and I don't know that I would ever, you know, run the station. I don't know that my focus isn't, it might be part of the gig at some point someday.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, what was your decision, your deciding factor to get into management?
It was kind of the same thing that you said earlier.
Yeah.
That you found out that you're good at something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and that you enjoyed it.
Okay.
And so it's kind of the same thing with me. You know, I never saw myself in high school going into management. That wasn't my thing.
Right.
But, you know, once I got into going to work, you know, becoming an adult, I found that I was kind of drawn towards, you know, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm being, you know, egotistical or anything like that, but I found myself drawn towards leadership.
Yeah, that's
it. You know, it was natural. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It was self-aware.
There's a Japanese word, and I'm not trying to get like super philosophical, but there's a Japanese word that kind of explains that. It's called ishigai or ikigai, where it says pretty much that you got to find what you love and get paid for.
Yeah.
And that's how you'll be happy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the ways that you guys are talking about it, it kind of seems like that's what you found. You found what you were good at and what you loved.
Yeah.
And then you also found a way to make some money from it.
Yeah. So. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it was just, I was drawn towards that and I found out, you know, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
I can do this. And so exactly what you just said, I was like, how do I make this a financial,
financial game? You still got a good pay, too.
That's the interesting thing. Would you say you're the same, though, too? Like, you're happy or you're...
With what I'm doing right now as far as, like, marketing and, like, we get to do, like, graphic design. And I've always, for as long as I can remember, have loved, like, art and design and drawing and that sort of thing. So being able to do that now, I think I'm at a spot where I do what I like and I still get paid for it.
He does a really good job.
It took me a while to get there too. Like I didn't, like I always liked it, but I was like, you can't make no real money from this. Like where am I gonna? But now with like technology and stuff, you could definitely make some good money from it.
Do you guys remember the last job you did that wasn't a passion job, but it was I have to get paid before you had the job that you have now? Because I remember the last one. I was in
a lot.
I remember the last one specifically. I was in a factory.
Yeah.
Sitting in a factory at a machine where I was literally just taking parts of like an inside of a door of a car and putting them on. And I was like, there's no way I can do this forever. Yeah. I can't do this for 8 hours a day.
No. Same here. It was factory.
Yeah, mine was a factory too. Yeah.
But I nothing, mean, for nothing some people, wrong with that. For some people, it's perfect.
No. There's absolutely nothing. My
just wasn't for me.
No. I think because my brother works in a factory. He works for Amazon. My brother does it all the time and loves it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't. He's very introverted.
Yeah.
So like for him, he puts on headphones and he just goes at it, and that's his thing.
Yeah.
But for me, who likes to talk to people all the time and has to be around a bunch of people, I couldn't personally.
I think it depends on where you're at in your life, because I remember my first job. My absolute first job was at a library.
Yeah.
And I used to work in a basement. So I was the guy that, okay, so when you ordered a book, you were at some other library across town and you wanted this book. So you had to wait a week for that book to get to you.
Yeah.
I was the guy in the basement who was pulling the books to get that book to you.
Okay.
So I was down there by myself. So I had music on and I'm still in high school. Loved the job.
Yeah.
You know, I was all by myself playing whatever I wanted to play, did whatever I wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
Got the job done, got out of there, and had a good time, hung out with my friends and went to school and stuff like that. So I love that job. I couldn't do that now, though.
No.
Right. I would hate that job.
No, right. It changes throughout the year.
Yeah, yeah. But the one job that I did have was a factory job where I used to work manufacturing glass, glass products. And it was a good job, good people. I
good
loved
money,
the job.
Too,
yeah,
right
really
away.
Good money. But I could not see myself there for the rest of my life. And I remember at one point I was there for 2 years. And at the end of that career, I told my boss, like, I'm leaving. I'm going to give you a month notice. But I am leaving because I cannot do this for the rest of my life. I want to go back to school and figure out what I want to do.
Sure.
And I remember he threw more money at me.
Well, that's the thing. If you're into it, so if that's your passion, passion is doing stuff like that, creating stuff like that, building stuff like that, and you want to be in an environment where you can throw headphones in or do whatever you're allowed to do in those places, you could move up quick in those places.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really quick. Yeah. They will throw money at you, and they will, like, because I did do a couple, no, it wasn't you guys, sorry, but I did do a couple temp services, and I got almost hired instantly.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved you guys from the get-go, is because I knew exactly what it was like, because I did it, and within, like, 60 days, they were like, do you want to full-time job. So when I was searching for jobs, that was how I got my foot in the door right away. But there were management positions available. Yeah. There was just moving up and more money.
Yeah.
So if that's what you're into, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It just wasn't for me personally.
Same here.
So if you wanna actually pull up the slide 14 and show what the product is first.
So this is Head-On, the Miracle Headache Cure.
So I came across a very low budget commercial. So just to give you a little bit of context, this is the product. It is a headache relief product, I guess. I don't really know.
You came up with this?
No. I came across this. It was an interesting ad. Special. I was looking for like weird ad campaigns and stuff. And I'd seen this product, and it was kind of like a glue stick for your head. Okay. Like you rub it on your head.
What?
So Jesus, if you want to show what the commercial is. So they didn't have a lot of money. Just imagine you're watching TV late at night and this comes up.
Does it work?
Well, that's
no.
They're not around anymore. So.
Head-On, apply directly to the
Oh, I do remember this.
I do.
Now you do.
Because they repeated it over and over and over and over and over.
Head-On, available at Walgreens.
Well, because it comes on, and you think, like, is my TV broken?
What is this? This is in the 90s or something?
No, this is, I think this is, like, the 2000s.
Yeah.
It's just that low budget. That one's different. That one, actually, but those first three would play.
Well, the fact that they branched out to Actavon means that they were selling Head-On.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, it made money, but there was no proof that it did anything.
Is it like a vapor rub for your forehead?
I just remember repetitive commercial.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything. I don't think I ever bought it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I never bought it. But I do remember that commercial.
But it's an interesting strategy, isn't it? Because it's like you guys didn't remember. But as soon as it was in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Real big.
Was it ever proven to do anything? Like,
no.
Was there any
studies? It's complete pseudoscience. It's basically just wax in the tube. There's like a little bit of like medical balm, but like it hasn't been proven to do anything for your health.
But for some people that said that it did help in a way, right? It was like a placebo thing?
Yeah. Because, yeah, if you put it on and you believe it's going to help, then there's a chance it will.
Yeah.
So don't be fake.
Yeah. Even if you're trying to sell something.
I just saw that gem and I figured you guys might want to see one of the greatest commercials ever. Just incredible.
But what it probably did is sold some head-on stuff.
Yeah. It definitely sold.
Yeah.
If they're branching out to Actavon.
Yeah, they're making sequel products.
Has anybody Googled if it's around today?
I don't think it's actively sold.
I wonder how many products we have today that are like a head on that just say
they're
that
so
they
many of them, man.
Do a thing and they probably don't.
I mean, that's the whole pharmaceutical industry is built on that concept.
True.
We just build something and sell it.
I don't see the head.
Yeah, I don't think they really sell it much anymore.
They probably got it to some issues.
Kind of one of those fad things.
Yeah.
A previous commercial claimed the product provided headache relief, but was pulled after objections from the Better Business Bureau.
There you go. Huh. Yeah, you can't even get it on Amazon. Amazon listing just says currently unavailable.
Well, Mike, we do appreciate you coming out, man. We appreciate it. We don't want to waste a lot of your time. But, you know, we do appreciate, you coming out, speaking with us. We like bringing you on. Because you just seem to be the kind of guy that gets it.
I hope so.
Yeah, you get it. You get the whole point of, you know, you're not starting your own business, which is kind of outside of the scope of our podcast, but you're somebody who is building on a brand.
Yeah.
And that brand is Mike, right? And so we really appreciate it. You came out that first episode. You actually helped us out on how we could start a podcast. And
oh, cool.
After that meeting, we actually sat down with like some of the ideas that Mike came up with. Let's talk about some of those things. And we'll
That's awesome.
Do. And so we're still building on it. We're still trying to get there.
It looks
but
nice.
A lot of the ideas that you came up with in that first meeting we had definitely helped us out.
Cool. Well, my next
idea is to put head on this green screen behind us.
We got the same color.
I have to find where they are. Reach out and figure out if I can get us a sponsorship.
I'm sure the guy, Todd or whatever his name is, that's running it in his parents' basement somewhere, will let us use
He'd
it.
He'd be begging.
So what's the story for Mike? What's going on? I mean, anything new coming up this year that you're looking forward to? What are you doing to expand your brand?
I can't get into details, oh, but the. Whoa. But the we got some good feedback back, is what I'll say, from on our show, which will help me overall as a brand because it shows with like a study or whatever who is listening to who on the show, who's got a good following on the show, who the audience is attracted to on the show.
Okay.
That's all I can technically say on that. But it should be growing as far as working with. I'd like to work with. More clients. I'd like to work with long-standing clients.
Yeah.
I'd like to work with like dealerships, some big stuff.
Yeah.
I'd like to travel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'd like to, as far as the brand is going, I'd like to dive into things I've never done. I'd like to work on a Christmas station.
Yeah.
I've never worked on a Christmas. I love Christmas.
Yeah,
I'd like to tap into more of that.
Are you familiar with Delilah?
I am familiar with Delilah.
I love her Christmas.
Oh
my God.
She's a different avenue than I would probably go down.
Yeah, you could definitely do something.
I'm not giving love advice.
No,
Delilah.
The Christmas stuff that she does is awesome.
Yeah.
I like her Christmas stuff. I don't listen to her any other time.
Yeah.
I get that. I do get that.
I'd like to, just do more. I'd like to expand and practice more at the craft, you know, and get better as a storyteller, as a broadcaster, I'd like to get in front of, do more stuff in the community.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily a brand thing, but also maybe a little bit.
Back to the community that brought you up.
Yes.
You know, I definitely respect that. And I like your stuff, man. I mean, in the morning, you guys crack me up.
Thank you.
I love the stuff. And then the stuff that you're always putting out there. How's the workout stuff going, though?
The workout.
Yeah, you said last year that you came on, you started to work out. You were doing.
I do.
Yeah, are you still?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You seem kind of like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No.
So
no.
You are still working out. You're still out there.
Yeah. Don't let this puffy coat fool
you. Yeah.
Well, you want me to go take my shirt off? What are you trying to do?
Come on.
Yeah. You want to take the coat off? Like, what are you trying to do?
No. When you came on our first season, you were talking about how you were just getting back into that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool that you're still working out and stuff. I have not worked out since September. And so, in fact, when you asked me if there's anything new about me, I injured my foot back in September.
Okay.
And so I was working out, I was going to the gym, I was doing my thing. Uh-huh. And then in September, I fell down, slipped down some stairs playing with my nieces.
Oh, jeez.
And I hyperextended one of my toes.
Oh.
So kind of like a turf toe situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the day after I got injured, I went off to Peru, uh-huh. or excuse me, to Panama. And we were there for a week, and so I was on my foot, and it was killing me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it got swollen. It was black and blue. And, yeah, so for a whole week, we were walking around on this bad foot. So when I get back, my foot was pretty bad.
Wow.
So since September, I'm still limping.
Yeah. Now he just limps everywhere.
Yeah. Jesus was just talking about it today, but I've been limping ever since, and I have not been able to go. Well, I could probably go back to the gym and do some other stuff, but when I used to go, it used to be a lot of running.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I can't do that anymore.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to bring that up anyways, but...
You want to see a shirtless picture? Is that what you're looking for?
No.
Is that
what we're all good here. I'm glad you're still working out.
Yeah, man. Don't let the puffy... No. So, workout stuff. Muscle, yes.
Yeah.
I could probably do more cardio. Okay. That's probably my biggest thing that I slack on.
Yeah.
And I think mostly I work out to eat sometimes shitty.
Yeah.
Hey. Like, you know what I mean? I don't eat shitty whatever all the time.
Works.
Yeah. But just so I can have a beer or something every now and then. And not feel guilty about it.
So working on your brand, working on yourself.
You're trying to see a shirtless picture. You don't believe me. I can tell you don't believe me.
I really appreciate you, Mike, coming out here and talking about all this
stuff.
Thank
you for having me.
You know, for everybody who's listening out there, man, you guys definitely do your thing, man. Be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Believe in yourself, just like Rocky did.
Yes.
Rocky out there chasing the chickens.
Rocky, Mike, all winners here.
It's got like a weird pitch shifted version of the theme song so we don't get copyrighted.
But yeah, we appreciate your time out here, man. And, hopefully we can have you back before you start really blowing up. Sounds like you got some big stuff maybe coming in the works here. So
always.
We're going to try to get you back here, hopefully, and before you hit the Hollywood market, I guess.
Yeah, when you start seeing shirtless pictures of me on billboards. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, man, I didn't think he really worked out. I question him.
That is not the direction I was moving in.
I questioned him because he wore a puffy coat. I even asked you.
Honestly, I just ran out of stuff to talk about.
What's your regimen? Were you squatting, bro?
We'll make sure.
Are you really doing it? I don't believe it. Side-eyeing me. Side-eyeing me. Are you really working out?
Forging the future is made possible through support from Forge Industrial Staffing. Work where it works. For you.